So I did a schoolboy error. I've ignored all our own advice about, monitoring the news. And this news headline came up, and I made the mistake of reading it. And I think at this time of year, it's only right we turn our attention to the poor among us. And so I want us to spare a thought for the poor Thames Water bosses this Christmas, if I may.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Because,
bless
oh,
them.
they've had a tough
Yes.
year
Yes.
because, there's been 40% increase in pollution incidents. They're in debt of 16 billion. They're going to put up bills by 59%. So it's going to be a tricky time for them all. But on the plus side, because of this, they're only awarding themselves £770,000 in bonuses this year. That's tough, isn't it?
Well, look, I think, isn't this what you want out of a chief executive?
You
Surely
think?
you want, yeah, you want your chief executives to make a lot of money during hard times, don't you? Even when the economic outlook is bad, you want them to be good at raking in the money. They seem to just to be starting with themselves. And I think in a way that's admirable. Also, Joe, let's be honest, Christmas is a time for giving,
Ah,
isn't it?
yes, yeah.
And
So
they're giving themselves
they are
a lot.
giving themselves the gift of £770,000 as a handshake for doing really so terribly.
I think we both have a lot to learn from this, actually. Welcome, everybody, to episode 312, it says here, of the Midfaith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there is, in a rather Scrooge-like fashion, actually, you've got a slightly grumpy opening to the show, Joe Davis.
just in keeping with everything. Hello, hello. After
Hello.
2 weeks, welcome back. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And I don't know if we have any church notices. You've got an event on. Do you want to promote
Well,
that?
yes. On the Saturday, the 18th January. January Enneagram 4 day. I mean, I don't know whether anyone's going to turn up because if ever there's an Enneagram number that wouldn't want to come to an Enneagram day, it's the type fours. So
Yeah.
notionally, I think we have two people coming. But if you know a type four, or if you are a type four and you want to know more about yourself or them, then you'd be very welcome to come along. Just email me, Joe at midfaithcrisis.org. But there is one more very, very important church notice. I cannot stress enough.
Yeah, well, this is really from our stewardship committee, our giving committee,
Yes.
which is me and Joe, actually. It's the same as every other flipping committee. But anyway, look, we just wanted to start by saying a huge thank you. We normally leave this to the end, but we thought we'd start by saying a huge thank you to everyone who's supported the podcast this year, everyone who's written in, everyone who's recommended it, and particularly everyone who's given to it. That it continues to astonish me.
It's me.
And in a way, I think it's a bit like the Thames Valley water bosses. It feels like we're actually just all we're doing it really is pushing out sewage, and yet people still give us money. And so,
I see the link now.
I don't understand it, but we are tremendously grateful. As you know, we're
Yeah, we
both
really
pretty
are.
much self-employed, and so that's really helpful for us. Yeah, thank you very much. And obviously, our stewardship committee members will be contacting you each individually to request that you up your giving.
It's nothing says thank you like asking you to increase your giving, I
Yeah.
always think.
In the Thames Valley manner, we'll be after a 59% increase into 2025. No, seriously, we're so grateful. And it means a lot to us. Thank you very
There. So
much.
thank you so much, everyone. Really thank you. Anyway, moving on.
We ought to actually warn people as well, Joe, do you think? Because we've had 2 weeks to prepare this
Yes,
episode,
yes.
and yet,
Yeah, I know where this is going. Yeah.
in another what you can only call sort of Thames Valley-like performance, we haven't really prepared very much, have we?
Well, you say that, but we thought what we'd do, we're not having any feedback, so
No.
we have prepared that. And
That's true.
also, we thought instead of one Christmas message, we do two Christmas messages. And then
Yeah,
we
okay.
could, like, maybe eat something and pick them all apart, and like chew over it and say what we liked about the preacher and what we didn't like about the preacher. this year.
Oh, so you're saying do something traditionally Christian at
yes,
this time of year?
I think so. Okay. I think all if right. ever we're going to do it, now's the time.
Great. All right. Well, we're going to, yes, try and do two Christmas sermons later on. Very quick yeah. ones. Yeah. But in the meantime, it's time to catch up. So how are you?
Well, thank you. Still a bit post-virally. I've been tearful recently. I'm not going to lie. It's been a year since my brother, he passed on the 7th of January. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, this time last year I went out to see him, you know, it's been a bit grim. I've not felt very well. I've been a bit miserable. And, you know, it's all okay. I'm at peace with that. I'm not quite my normal chirpy self. But that said, there have been rays of golden sunshine over these past couple of weeks. Not least was the Strictly final last week. Did you watch it? Tell me you watched it.
I watched it. I was in tears.
Oh, yeah.
Huge chunks of it.
Well,
it was amazing, wasn't it?
Wasn't it extraordinary? It was. I think it's probably the best TV programme of the year for me. I think it's not. No exaggeration.
I don't know. Certain episodes of Country File are right up there, particularly when they advertise the calendar. But yeah, that's a personal, a personal view. But you know, it was magnificent. Yeah. It was everything
Isn't
that
it great?
TV can be. Really, I think you know, it, very moving. You know, great stories and just fantastic entertainment. It was fantastic. Yeah,
it was beautiful. And if you want something else that's genuinely moving. The new Coldplay video, All My Love,
with
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, yes, I have seen this.
Oh, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful.
And have you seen the director's cut about the making of it?
No.
Oh, you should see that. We'll put links in the show. Yeah,
okay, good,
so,
good.
You know, they released the video, but before that, they actually released a sort of director's cut showing in longer interview with Dick Van Dyke. And he's astonishing, isn't he?
He is.
And it's, again, it's such a beautiful song, so uplifting. Yeah, I'm so happy you mentioned that.
I think the reason I found it so moving is because he does genuinely remind me of my mum in terms of just that he's entertainment personified, singing, dancing, you know, kind of, you know, life and soul of the party, still rocking it in his 90s.
Was your mum also a chimney sweep?
She wasn't a chimney sweep, no. She was very much an entertainer.
Oh, okay. All right.
But no, it's great. And if any of the 17 have not yet watched that, highly, highly recommend that. Went to the cinema and watched Conclave as well. That film about the selection of a new pope. Mixed reaction. I mean, brilliantly well acted. Ralph Fiennes is in it and he's just stunning. And it's just really good performances, really good story. But if you step back from it, you do sort of, even though it's a Catholic church and I'm not Catholic, you know, you do just think, oh, the church, the
yes.
church, the control, the power, the patriarchy, the way it all works. You can't help but let out a little sigh. But it's a brilliant film and I highly recommend watching it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so
good.
There you are. That's about me. I think you're pretty much up to date. How about you? How are you?
Well, I mean, obviously, I had the gastroscopy last week because nothing says Christmas more than having a camera stuffed up your nose and down your throat.
Ouch!
It was fine. It was fine. And I have nothing but admiration and thanks for the NHS. They still haven't found my brain. I mean, they've looked up and they've looked down and there's no sign of it. My view is they didn't go far enough and they started at the wrong end. But, you know, you never know. Anyway, so that was. Thank you for people who've been asking after that. I'm fine. Here's the thing about Christmas, right? There's a few things that I really want to get off my chest here, Joe.
Okay, come on.
One is I ordered something online. I'm not at liberty to say what it is in case any of my family are listening to this. It's unlikely, but it's possible.
It is unlikely.
Literally every day since, I've had two emails from this company.
Oh, yeah.
Promoting extra things that I might have forgotten, which I haven't forgotten. I didn't want in the first place. Why are you being punished for buying something from them? Why are you doing this?
You do know you can unsubscribe, right?
I do, but I mean, literally, I'm never going to buy anything from them again because it's just like relentless.
It is.
Anyway, also we had our carol service last week.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was entertainingly anarchic, really.
Okay.
I had a cold, so I wasn't really concentrated, but The what made it special, I think, was that the organist had prepared to a different order of service than the vicar who was leading it.
Okay.
And that was okay on the whole, except for certain carols which he hadn't rehearsed. And so there was one point where we were singing a carol which all the congregation knew, and so we were more or less singing a cappella, and he was trying to work it out, and it felt like we were actually in a battle with each other. But it was a lovely moment when we all came together at the end, and he Great. Rehearsed it five times by then because we got to the fifth verse. So it was very funny. And one of the joys of a small rural church is that kind of thing, actually. It's lovely. Yeah. It's not overproduced. It's not produced at all, in fact. And then I suppose the other key thing is that when this load of old Thames Valley effluence goes out, it will be the winter solstice.
It will be. Yes.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this on Saturday, today is the shortest day of the year. And the great thing about that is after this, every day gets lighter.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't that wonderful? We've hit the bottom of the valley or the top of the bell curve, whichever you want to look at it. And from here, it's all into the sunlit uplands. And I find that very cheery and hopeful.
That is a beautiful thing. And also to say, if you happen to be listening in the Worthing area, we'll probably do some sort of marking of that on Saturday. Probably 3:45, just before sunset. So we'll sacrifice a seagull or something together.
Will you be on the beach?
Yes. Whatever the weather.
Well, okay, listeners, if you do go and you want to know how to identify, he will be the one wearing the seagull head. and the loincloth and brandishing a flaming torch.
As always.
Yes. He's always first and foremost a Baptist pastor, and that's what they do.
Yeah, exactly. We do. No, but it's a good thing, isn't it, to mark those days, to mark the winter, the dark season.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. And I do think it's wonderful. You know, we've from here, we're moving towards spring. So isn't that great?
Yeah, that is some good. If you take no other good news from this podcast, take that. Yeah. That is great news. Mm.
Right, so this is what we're going to do for this episode. It was a woeful lack of planning as ever, but we're tired. It's the end of the year, if I'm saying. But Joe actually suggested this. Yeah, you suggested that we should both give a Christmas sermon.
Christmas message, a talk to the 17, something to encourage them and lift them up at Christmas.
Right, and is this because you're missing giving a sermon at Christmas? Is this because
a little bit, maybe. Yeah, I quite enjoyed the Christmas services.
Yeah,
they were a lot of fun. That said, I don't miss long sermons, hence why I said we should maybe just do 2 minutes each.
Yes.
And obviously it would be competitive. I mean, one of us ought to be voted off at the end.
Oh, okay. Well, so it's more like sort of strictly come preaching, really, isn't it? Then you get a couple of minutes for your show sermon, and then each of us will judge it. We will.
Yeah,
judge
but
you.
Are you going to be Craig Revel Horde, or are you going to be Anton?
I think there's no doubt as to.
I think we know where this is going.
So listen, why don't you give me then your Christmas message for 2024? And then we'll reflect on that, and then we'll flip it round and I'll do it.
Okay.
And we're going to try and keep these within 2 minutes, I think. It would be good, really.
Yeah, let's try. So set a timer and,
right.
I'm
on it.
Okay, don't be nasty if, you know, it goes just up. You know, be kind.
Have you
started?
No.
Okay, well, you count me down because you know, I don't want to start until...
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to start you with the traditional way of starting a sermon.
Yes.
Which is, please be seated.
Hi. Look, this is my 2 minutes. I've been pondering the statistical improbability of life. So here's a few facts to get your head around. There are 100 billion stars in our galaxy. 100 billion. Which takes a while to count. There are literally billions of galaxies in the universe. And we honestly don't know whether there's intelligent life anywhere else in the universe, even given that. It could be that we are the only intelligent life forms in the universe. Added into that, there was once this incredible race that involved hundreds of millions, and you won. These sperm all raced it to the egg and you got it. The chances of you being here are so statistically improbable, it's mind-boggling. And yet that gives me a sense of just how precious life is and how sacred it is and how unlikely it is. And I've been really conscious this year that, you know, Christmas is not necessarily a happy time for all of us. For some of us, it can be a rotten time. But I just want to remind you what a gift life is, how precious it is, how important you are. And you know, some people feel like that maybe they've got not much to give this year. Maybe they haven't got. I saw this thing earlier in the year and I've been wondering when to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it now. This tree, this dead tree in the forest that we go to, fell over. It just refuses to die. It just will not die. Still in the spring, there was new life coming out. It reminded me of that Monty Python bit. Bring out your dead. I'm still alive. Do you remember that? It's like, I'm still alive. And friends, you may be feeling a little bit knackered like me. You may be feeling tired. But trust me, you can still do something small and beautiful. Because this life is short enough. It is short enough. And, you know, you are still alive. So give it a tiny bit of kindness, a tiny bit of love. Do your thing. Shine as best you can. Even if it's not much, it still makes a difference. It's the end of my message. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy
thank
Christmas.
You. Thank you, Reverend. I timed that at 2 minutes 23. We'll knock a few bits off for the earlier bit where you said hello in that rather kind of evangelical manner.
Yeah. Do you know what? I wish I had 5 minutes. That could have been good.
Well, I mean, it's a lovely message. We're all unique. I'm taking out that from the message. We're all unique. We're all statistically improbable. I'm going to give you extra points for mentioning sperm in a sermon. I think
thank
that's
you.
Always
thank you. Yeah.
Always unlikely and therefore quite clever. Well done. And also, even better, it had some context. It wasn't just you shouting the word, which I think is also useful.
For a change.
I suppose, yeah, you do wander down the high street shouting it. I came out with the key message of you are still alive, which I'm not sure is as encouraging as it should be in
no,
a way.
No,
but, you know,
with
it's,
hindsight.
It's,
I could
it's
have done
true.
More with that. Yeah,
it's true.
I think that's
but
fair.
I think it was a very you sermon. It was lovely and it was very nurturing and encouraging. There's one tiny little point that I would want to make.
Okay, so it's only a 9.
Right. Call me Mr. Traditional.
Yeah, I think I know what's coming.
I didn't actually hear a Bible verse of any way, shape or form.
I had to cut the Bible verse. I did have one, but I cut it. There was 2 minutes. There's so much I wanted to say. I'll say it next week.
I love that. I love the thing of all the things you thought I'll cut. It's going to be the Bible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to have to say, I think that's a solid 7.
I think you're being generous.
I think I am. It is Christmas.
Well, all that criticism is fair. So I take that on board. And, you know, each week I'm just learning more and more. And, you know, when I started doing this, I couldn't preach at all. And now here I am with a 7. So thank you.
What a journey you're on.
I've been on a journey. Right. OK. So, well, that's me. As shocking as that was. Let's hand over to you. So, Nick Page, what is it you want to say to the 17 this year, this Christmas?
Well, I want to start with not just one Bible verse, but about 4, I think, really. Because I was reflecting on the Nativity stories during the carol service last week. And what the word that kept coming out to me, or kind of theme that kept coming out to me, was fear or perplexity. So you have the shepherds who the angels appear to, and they were terrified, it says. And you have Mary who has the Annunciation, and she's perplexed, she's troubled by the words. And the angel says, do not be afraid. You even have King Herod. When Herod hears what the Magi says, he's terrified. It says he's really afraid. You have Joseph, who is resolved to, you know, to divorce Mary, and then the angel says, no, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. So actually, virtually everybody who's involved in the story is scared or confused at some point.
Mm.
It's a story that's full of trouble and fear. And I think that's one of the reasons why this time of year is so right for the setting of this story, because it's a story that is full of potential darkness, but in which everything turns out better than what most of the participants expect. You know, so the shepherds, they find not a sort of member of the aristocracy, but a peasant.
Mm.
And the Magi find not a king, a prince, but a baby. And Mary and Joseph, they find not disgrace and shame, but courage and wonderful grace of God. And I think this is the key message of Christmas, that God is with us. God is not against us. God is not judging us. God is not condemning us. God is with us. And that picture of God might be something that we really do not expect. And I think this year particularly, this is my hope for everyone. And it reflects a little what we talked about earlier. We're all quite anxious, I think, or a lot of us are anxious and apprehensive about what next year is going to bring. We're in the midst of a season that's dark and cold. But from now on, things will get brighter. And maybe, just maybe, things will turn out better than we expect.
Brilliant.
Let us pray.
Thank you. Oh, that was lovely. I mean, that was a masterclass. You glid across the floor, metaphorically speaking. It was lovely. I like about it, and unlike mine, is I think what you managed to get into that,
yes,
was Christmas. Yes. And the idea of God with us.
Yes.
Which is what I ditched from mine. You seem to, like,
thank you,
contain within your message something Christmassy rather than editing it out.
Yes, I think I tried to take a more traditional ballroom kind of approach to it, whereas you went more rumba, I think.
It was great stuff. Oh, wait. Oh, the marks are in.
Oh.
The judges have met. They've come up with their scores. And it's a 9.
Ah,
it's a 9.
What have I got to do to get a 10 from Joe?
You've got to get more double entendres in.
That's true, actually. There was normally, I do try and slip one in, as it were. No, that's quite challenging, isn't it?
It's an interesting idea, because I was thinking about this, being in my miserable mood, as I have been recently, that the Christmas story isn't all fun and gay. There's this expectation with Christmas that somehow we should all be a bit cheery and a bit happy because there's lights and there's carols and there's nativities and there's all sorts of things. But I was thinking, if you were one of the mothers of the slaughtered babies,
yes,
that King Herod and his men took out, you wouldn't be feeling that joyful, would you now? And I suppose, like you, I think I've noticed that amidst the good news of, you know, the arrival of Christ with us, are these other narratives of real fear and worry and violence and death, and you think, oh, that's not unlike now, really, in many respects. So it's interesting, isn't it?
I think so. I think the context, that there's a lot of darkness to the story, as you say, there's the murder of the innocents, as it's called. But there's also the fleeing, having to flee to Egypt. And even when Mary and Joseph come back, historically, according to the historical account, they come back and Herod has died, but his son is in charge. And his son was even worse than Herod the Great. He was so bad that the Romans actually sacked him. And believe me, if the Romans sack you for being over the top, you are a terrible ruler. I can't remember his name. It's gone out of my head.
Augustus.
Herod somebody, anyway.
No.
Herod somebody, anyway. But, you know, so there's these strands that actually Mary and Joseph come back and they have to go through, you know, Judea, escape quickly, go north. But even when they go north, they're basically going back to a war zone, because after Herod's death, there was an uprising which was put down by the Romans. So they go back into a situation of oppression and occupation. And yet within all of that, there's still this light and this hope, and they can exist alongside each other, I think.
Yes, I think, and they do exist alongside. And even if you move on, I know we shouldn't talk about the passion narratives at this time of year, obviously, but, you know, there you've got these such tender scenes, you know, around the Last Supper and stuff like that. But you've also got brutality and loss. And I think in a way we both sort of targeted a similar group of people. My heart is very much with people for whom this is not a particularly happy time of year. Yeah. I was speaking to my sister-in-law, and her exact words to me were, "I just want Christmas to be over."
Yeah.
And now that's so unlike her, because Christmas is this huge celebration in Mexico. You know, it goes on for days and days, and it's a very family orientated time. And so, you know, the seasons can change quite quickly from, you know, a time of year you love to a time of year that's really difficult to a time of year where you're really focused on loss and you're grieving. And actually, you will find all those things in these stories, which I think is fascinating.
But I did like that picture in your sermon about the fallen tree that is still growing, and it's not giving up. And
yes,
I do love that, because I think that's really true. People have amazing resilience and amazing capacity for life, even when life knocks them over, blows them over.
No, exactly. And I think, you know, I personally know a lot of people who are just feeling like they've fallen over flat on their face, and, you know, they've got nothing to offer. Mm. But actually, what I would have said better if I'd had more time is that your presence is enough, actually. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, you are an absolute miracle. You are. And, you know, you don't have to be giving all the time, and you don't have to be happy all the time. And you don't. And just because you're miserable doesn't mean that you make everyone else miserable. That's a lie. That's something we feel when we're miserable. We feel like we're a burden on people. We don't. But actually, no, presence is sometimes just enough. Presence, as in ENCE, not the other one. And if you are feeling like that fallen over dead tree, actually, there's still, it's extraordinary. There are these pockets of life around. Mm. You know, you're still alive. You know, what I hope people might take away is a sense of encouragement this year, because mid-faith crisis is difficult. You know, everything's thrown out. There's all these questions. And I think often we don't even know how to read the Bible stories, because is this true? Is this not true? Is this literally happened? Is it just metaphor? What do I do with it? What's it got to do with anything? Well, it's telling the story of us, of humanity, of life, ultimately, and of Christ being in us and with us, and humanity and divinity being joined at the hip, which actually is quite exciting.
So let me ask you this. What are you going to do this Christmas in order to, I don't say cope, but, you know, what's your kind of wellness plan in that sense for the festivities? Is there something that you yourself are going to do that you know will nourish you, and you know will bring a bit of life back to this dead old tree that is lying on the ground?
Well, yeah, there's two things that I've learnt to do. One is not to be afraid of the darkness. I mean, your message about do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. I'm not afraid of my tears, and I'm not afraid of not feeling like my normal self. I'm not afraid to grieve. I'm not afraid to go, you know, we've got our kind of celebrant dinner tonight. And, you know, there's part of me just thinks, oh, I could do without it. But actually, I've still got something to give. I'm going to go. I might be my normal sparky self, but that's all right. So I think there's that sort of radical acceptance of where I'm at, where I am. That's the first thing. And, you know, the walks on the beach become more important to me at these times, not less important. So I'm doing what I know to do. I'm making sure I have enough space away from the crowds to just, you know, be with my sadness. And the second thing is, all of that stuff doesn't define me. I know that to be a human being is incredible. It's amazing. And I know that, you know, I have capacity still and I have agency. And although I might not be able to do as much as I want, and I don't feel as energetic as I'd like to feel, I can still do some, I can still bless. I can still be present with my family, and I can still, you know, take time to be interested and present to all of them. And maybe that's the biggest gift I can give this year. In fact, they would probably rather have that than a present, in all honesty. They would like my presence. So that's what I'm going to give them this year.
Great.
So I think, you know, learning not to give into the lie that you haven't got anything to give, or that you're useless, or that you know, no one wants to be around you, or anything. That's just a lie. I'm going to be present. How about you? What are you going to do this year to live this kind of incarnational message?
Yeah, I think there are three things that I've been sort of reflecting on.
One, do they begin with the same letter?
They could do if I worked at it. So one is peace. You know, I want to sort of cherish those moments of peace. Like, for me, one of the key moments in Christmas is listening to the Nine Lessons and Carols. It's not in and of itself what it is. It's just that signal that you sit down with a glass of something and you just pay attention to something else. And it's that moment. So I think we need to really search out those moments of peace. And the second one is, I'm going to give up on perfection. It's going well.
Oh,
I'm going to give up on perfect. So the other thing is, I've decided this year, because I normally do major sort of cooking and stuff, I really don't want to. Really can't be arsed. You know, I don't, it's not that I don't want to. I just get so tired by it, and so I want to. I don't want to apologize about it. I just want everybody to have really nice food. But on the other hand, I'm not going to beat myself up if things don't go. You know, it's not a performance. I just want to sort of enjoy people's company and not be exhausted. So you don't have to do stuff. You know, you can opt out, or you can go the easy route. That's absolutely fine.
And often those little things, they can be real stress points, can't they?
They can, Christmas.
You can get yourself really worked up over them, and actually, that's, you know.
By the time you get to sit down at the table and eat, you are so exhausted. You could fall asleep under it. It's ridiculous. So I don't want to get to that. I want to sort of have a much more relaxed attitude.
Great.
And the third one, beginning with P, is hope.
Yes. Silent P,
yeah. Hope. What I've been thinking, it comes back to what I was saying. I want to try next year, I think, to believe the best rather than fear the worst.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be all sort of Pollyanna about it, and, you know, head in the sand and everything's going to be good, because I think next year will be very, very challenging on a number of levels. But I don't want to go into next year thinking it's going to be awful.
No.
I want to look for what's going to be good in it.
Wow, that's interesting.
And that, for me, actually can be quite difficult, because, as you know, naturally I'm someone who tends to catastrophize and who tends to sort of, my brain spins out stories the whole time, and they're normally, you know, stories of things going wrong. But I want to try and think of good news stories, and believe the best in people, and you know, not naively or stupidly, but to actually try and look for things to celebrate next year.
Well, that is an interesting thing, because I was thinking how next year I want to learn from all the things I worried about this last year that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's
so interesting. Every ounce of energy I spent worrying was a complete waste of time.
Yes.
Because none of it was as bad as I thought it was going to be. So maybe here's a thought. I'm just going to float this idea past you now. Maybe we should have a joint theme next year so we can kind of help each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a thought.
Okay. All right, joint interesting, because we've got till March 25th for it. Anyway, as you know, that's our new year.
Exactly. Yeah.
Listen, we should allow people to go and do their last minute shopping and
yes, indeed.
You know, argue over whether sprouts really are necessary in any way, shape or form.
They are.
And do all that kind of stuff. It's been a joy doing the podcast through the year, really.
It has.
It's been a real delight hearing from you.
Yes.
It's been incredibly encouraging. to us. We're very grateful.
Yes.
So thank you for being with us, and we look forward to your company again in the new year. I think it'll be probably be a couple of weeks before we do another one of these, but you know, we look forward to seeing you then.
Very well said indeed. Happy Christmas, everyone. Thank you so much.
So anyway, thank you for listening to this inadequate and unusual Christmas service. It was, really. But yes. Why don't we end with a blessing, Jane, okay. You'd lead us.
Here's a blessing for the 17. May the joy of the angels, the wonder of the shepherds, and the peace of the Christ child fill your heart and home this Christmas. May you find hope in the light of the star, comfort in the love of family and friends, and grace in the gift of this holy season. And as you go forth into the new year, may you carry the spirit of Christmas, generosity, kindness and love to all you meet. Amen.